Session number 11106, Mr. T. Wilson, Reel 10.
Mr. T. Wilson, Reel 10. Have you any other memories of Syria, Mr. Wilson?
No, not me, Syria. We won a great deal task to do in Syria. And I think we come back to Egypt, really.
When was this?
Well, that would be May, June, July. Maybe getting on the back end of the year. That's 41, wouldn't be, eh? Been getting on the back of him that year. I think we've come back to Egypt and what we're doing in Egypt again. More or less, to us was like getting reinforcement and getting replacements, and everybody's got their own entitlement again, and you're a full fighting unit, more or less.
Yeah.
Well, Syria, you come down the line and they come across the canal, Kantara, and then you go back into Egypt, Alexandria. I think we come back by that route. We come down the all the way across the canal and back up into Alexandria. I think they were waiting for further orders and things like that. Anyhow, when they did come up, we all got in the trucks and things like that and run about Alexandria and things like that, cancelled. Because in that port of Alexandria, a lot of ships went down just by sailors as well, going out in cabarets, which Alexandria was famous for, and things like that, and a few drinks and a little information flying off. And that did happen. And we were told, keep yourself to yourself. If you're going out, you say nothing. Well, we didn't. We had a bluff run, never mind out. We had a bluff run. He put in trucks, dashed everything away to move, and I got, and then nothing happened. And all of a sudden, as far as we didn't know ourselves, right, pack away now. On board the Australian destroyer, the Niger, straight on the deck, stopped on the deck all the time, and we got to Tobruk.
Was this done during the daytime? Or
during the night time. The deafening night. The trucks are moving during the night time. Well, there's a lot of movement and things like that. Alexandria, the port of Alexandria, the girls was the trouble. Where the information was getting through, and we lost a lot of ships through it. Well, those being a regular regiment, the old number one boys knew all about this business, and we had none of it. We didn't matter to tell you, we had a dummy run. When we didn't know what it was.
This was to put the girls off you?
Put anybody off, because if a bloke goes out in the bar and he meets a female and things like that, and she's got the charm to put him around, because a woman has charm to cut a man's throat and he didn't know he's getting it cut. Not that we avoided. Anyway, we had in the actual run, we just had one of the Nigerian ships, tried to straight aboard the ship and away, steamed up, sit along the coast, you know, there's the coast, and into Tobruk. And then we did get into Tobruk, really. Quite a lot of ships in the harbour, they were sunk. And the sailors, the marvellous fellas, helped us. But there was no accommodation, like, you know, getting on the ship and like that. You just got on there, that section was there, that platoon was there, that company was there, and that one was there, and that one was there. And that was just stopped there until you got on. Ordered to disembark. You took nothing off. You just kept as you were.
What was your first impressions of it?
Well, when we pulled in the harbour, and the sailors, mind, getting the views, get on, then you moved on trucks. Oh, they made some more sand. Some more sand. Right. And it was just like, you know, first kick off. different positions. As I said, when we merged them through, that was our first touch of going forward up the desert, on the desert part. We had different positions, every section, pot, pan, kettle, and different names for it. And the same ended up in Tobruk. You were allotted a certain area, and he was allotted a section there. One company had one part, and they had little spots and places what to defend. A big company, D company, to create, like, we say, a half-moon pattern around all the Tobruk. Then you had the artillery blocks and things like that, different ones. But being in Tobruk was more or less patrols trying to find out where they were, really. Because I can remember once it was a patrol required. I was sent out to take a platoon out and put them in the position and come back. And then we were going to break out. Because Colonel Ardine, he stood at the gap. The same chap again, Colonel Ardine, he comes up all the time. He says, Wilson, take up platoon out. And I've been out in that area. I took a platoon out, showed them where, and come back. And report that that platoon was, because they had to guard the specified place if anything was to break through. That was their job. My job was to just put them in position. Because I'd already done that area.
And were they just lying down on the desert sand?
Oh, yes.
They weren't digging in, aren't they?
No, well, you always dig your slim trenches. There's no getting away from it, because you save thousands and millions of lives. You always have a little slim trench, so it's only a foot below the ground. You've got a chance. Anyway, I put this platoon in position. And then the artillery fellas, they were having about a couple of hours bash at the, you know, the artillery, they were shooting away at the area, which I didn't know nothing about, really, because the plans was well above me. Come back, zero in position. But was coming back, because all fellas were flying over my head, and I would come back to Colonel Ardine, and I had that one, this is another feeling I've had in me all the experience of war. Good Lord, if I'm going to stop a one here in the middle by myself, where the hell's me father going to get now where I'm at? Nobody will ever know I'm just a number, no. My shirt was ringing wet. And you could smell dead bodies, you know, like this smell of sweet apples and dead bodies. Oh yes, dead bodies smell like sweet apples. But with the idea, send out on patrol, put them in position, come back and report that they were in position, and whilst the other fellows were just sitting behind with big guns banging away, and they were just flying out up my head. And but with the feeling, they fall out and they drop short and things like that, where was I? And I was by myself. Because Colonel Ardine did trust us, the matter be only who told him in all the regiment, I think. Charlie Rountree from Yorkshire and me when coming on Bloom Patrol. And the other fellas what did them just as the same as what we doing. But we was all doing more what they were doing at times. Yes, mind Charlie.
Going out on patrol, how were you equipped?
Well, we were what they call these hush puffies. You know, these silent shoes and not your old army boots like and you might mean be the gravel or something like that and cause any row. You had the hush puffies. Just more like, type of shoe like hush puffies or a set of overalls called it in the sand. There was even chaps put out so many hundred yards in front of their normal position and had to stay there 24 hours and then get relieved. No, I didn't get onto that kind of, I never got that kind of job, but you got shoved out in the night time, got a pair of glasses. But the trouble is, we never had no way of communicating with anything. All we had to do was report verbal. Now, if we had walkie-talkies and things like that, things would have been 100% different. You'd go and observe and you'd make a report what you saw and what you didn't, things like that.
If you'd gone out, night with the intention of staying for the whole of the next day, how were you able to be in position without being spotted by the Germans?
Well, that was up to you for the use whatever camouflage you were, really, and no movement. Because, I mean, you can get a sand dune, sometimes there's a sand dune here and a sand dune there, or there's a bit swaller, things like that. Where can you get a bit, really, and the chap can't run the corner, see you, really, things like that. But I knew good next way to do that job. But I knew fellas, types of work was done. A couple of chaps forward, or one forward all day long, and come back and report. And I thought, well, it's not a very nice job, because them blooming flies, they fall anywhere. Didn't matter where you went.
The flies were bad?
Always. You could travel 200 miles or 100 miles. Even in the vehicle and things like that, you know, when traveling in the vehicle 100 miles, nothing at 200 miles, nothing at times. And the dust line, then you settle down, and boy, they're there.
What kind of work were you doing in Tobruk? What was your duties?
More or less defensive work. Just defensive work only. We had an area ground, we had to look at the wall, had bits of dugout, or sand, you know, or slit trenches and things like that. If you got the time, which you did, you built underground. Where you got the stuff from, I don't know, sometimes you got bits of it and bits of stuff there, or anyhow, something happened, you did end up with a little, underground place. The best way, if you're underground all the time, really.
What were the defences of Tobruk like? Were they strong?
Very. As a matter of fact, you made them strong yourself. There was tank traps and things like that on certain areas, but not on all. Some old places are open. But you used to have trip wires out, you know, just ordinary wire, but the signalers used to have wire. And they got, that was nearly always available. And then if you had a tin of beans and things like that, you just saved the tin and put all in it and wrapped it down the wire. And that means in front of you, maybe 20 yards in front of you or 30 yards in front of you, on the night time, that trip wire would rattle, well, you know, somebody was. If you had to go past it, you had an area where you knew there was only one way through it, what they call that trip wire. And there was quite a few places where the decant and things like that, what you had, would just wait for the area to rattle if anybody passed them.
Did you ever experience an occasion when the enemy did rattle the trip wire?
No, in Tobruk. As a matter of fact, the only action that was in Tobruk was when Colonel Nardine was on with that, about 20 guns of fine, certain period of time, so many rounds, anyhow, don't know what it was. But one more defensive position in Tobruk. Now, wait a minute, how do we get it? Oh, yes, whilst we were in Tobruk, we were more or less doing defensive all the time. The aeroplanes were coming down, like, you know, the Dorniers and things were flying over, and then the Stukas. And my section, I think we did, because one of the fellows with the red band had come one time and says, this is the section what shut the Stuka down. But, you know, basically, but the only opportunity you got it with that, the Stuka would come and drop his bombs, you know, and then straight up. You know, somebody's getting hell over there. You know, somebody's getting hell over there. But it wasn't you were getting hell, but when you catch them, you can only catch them coming out. You know, nobody meeting his attack, because you're going to get it where you were there. We were lucky enough to catch the one coming out, his attack. And my section, I had them, everything blazing, we had them. You know, you could see the area, what's this, somebody's getting it. And he was coming down, and he's pulling out, and that's one thing, because you get, it was here about 20 blokes firing, well, no, actually, they're not all going to hit, but if even two hits there, of that area, and he, all the gun, because We had a brig, then we had our rifles and tommy gun, and a lot was blazing away at them. I wouldn't be the only one blazing at them. The fella, maybe it was 200 yards, and yards to the other side, he would be blazing at them. And I would be blazing at them and somebody else. But that's what they said, but I seen the stoke was all right. And we're blazing there, but so was everybody else blazing with them. And they would play that one, we'd get blown down. But them fellas just come straight down and straight up.
What effect had they on you?
Oh, horrible. But you knew one thing about it, if you in a slit trench, or just below ground, you had to get a direct hit. And you were confident. Then in slit trenches, like you had in England, out like that. No doubt about it. Because in the dead, it's all the sand. Bump. And it just strands, just spread. But if it's solid ground, things like that, but when the dead, it just makes a dip in the sand. Then there's going to be a direct hit, which I've been, later on I can tell you about the direct hit. Not to Brook, though. On our back end, the later part of our life. But the Brook was quite good. Then Montgomery was coming up then, I think. Montgomery was coming up when we fought to come out to Brook. Mm.
What was life like in Tobruk, Mr. Wilson?
Well, life in certain, you'd be all battalion really, but they would be spread out in different areas. A company would have one area, B company have another, B, and they all had their own places. But look at you'd have your company commander, your company sergeant major, your lieutenant in charge of different platoons, and you'd all be, and they would be allocated out the little spots here and spots there to do a certain part of duty of defence. But as regards, you go up in the night time for to get orders, and they got it. And when you went to get orders, wire leading from your little place to one place, and you had to go along by that wire, keep all that way and get there. Or if it's daytime, all right, and you're further back. But if you're in the front, right in the front, you went and got orders on the night time, more or less. And you just trace that way to the officer in charge of sergeant major, we gave you orders, things like that.
So you couldn't move during day at all?
Never, not. You had the equipment on all during the day. You had your little, I don't think, I can remember one time for 3 weeks. All that was loose on the equipment was just the buckle of the belt. It didn't matter. And then, as a matter of fact, you got a bit of a ginger beer out because the water was very short. And we were getting water, mind. We did get a supply of water because they were getting water manufactured from the sea. They were getting like salt water and turning it into drinking water. But as regards saving, that's the only time the British Army. Nobody worried if anybody shaved. And the sand, you know, and you didn't get many washes. Everybody was looking like monsters, really. You weren't the same fellas. They were comical, really. Yes, he had. But the guard take your clothes up. No, that didn't worry for 3 weeks. Or even if you were a month, it made no difference at all. That.
Did you have any problems with lice? Or body creatures?
No, we haven't. As a matter of fact, the sand's a good cleanser. Sand itself, because being pure sand, you know, there wasn't any necessary for time was stopping there for anything to breathe, more or less. But the sand is a good cleanser. Sand will clean anything, provided you rub it hard enough. Sand's a good cleanser, really.
Did you have any problems keeping your weapons clean?
Yes, well, at times when the wind, or what they call canvassing winds, or things like that, types of wind you dreaded on the desert, where he couldn't see you and you couldn't see you. But being an old soldier, I always had an old rag, an old towel, slightly oiled, or things like that, wrapped around the mechanism of my rifle, or my brain gun, or whatever weapon I was in possession of. I always had a lump of old bracken, old, you know, he always get hold of a towels and like that, wrap them round him, because he was your lifeline. Well, the sound would have been if you neglected it. If you neglected it, it would.
So if you had your section or platoon out forward position, what was your particular duties with the platoon or the section?
Well, to say that, they've got what rations come through at the time when they come through, then the amount of water, and everybody got distributed what was for them. And there was always one of them to make the type of meals, you know, amongst you. Well, the task for me were lucky, because I was a cook at any time, and I could knock things up where fellas couldn't. I mean, if I had a bone and a bit of rice, I could make them in a bit of curry. I could make a meal out of that, which was bone, rice and curry.
And what kind of food were you getting?
Well, when we did get to Tobruk, we got what they call that, and it was on Tobruk as well, that new 7-day supply business, which was really good. You know, it lasted a week, or it lasted 7 men one day. Like, it was balanced out in that way, really good, and the rations were quite good. What they call them rations now, iron tack or something. But I think it was a Yankee idea, really. No, the rations came up all right. Oh, definitely.
Could you only cook in an evening, or could you cook during the day?
Considering
the fact that you had to keep low.
Well, you were in the defensive position, and you were, I don't know, maybe 2 miles away, half a mile away, and you might not be in a vulnerable position, things like that. It all depends where you were. Carried on, if you're doing without food that day, all well and good, didn't matter. If it happened to be that way, you had to do without, you do without. But you still had it there. No, the cook wasn't too hard. Well, you had the mess tin and you get all the bit petal and things like that. It didn't take long to make a bit of a fire and a bit of sand, because sand burned with petal, champion.
What about toiletry? When to go to the toilet? How do you get out of the
sand, it was pure sand and things like that. And that's why your flies come in. Toilets didn't matter about toilets. You went to the area up the road, but the sand caters for everything. It's marvelous. It does. It caters for more what you think. And cleansing purpose, hygienic purpose and things like that. Because there's a hell of a lot of it. Trouble is. It is, you know, and when you think of it, I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of miles of it. As a matter of fact, the Italians, they always had some types of soft water drinks and things like that, or soda water and things like that. And I've come across bottles buried in the sand. Buried in the sand. Yes, I ever come up to the, where they were, you know, they got, or maybe it's the pigs that shouldn't have it, they buried it, and we happen to come across it. And so we made good use of it. It didn't taste nice to us, right? Because they got an entirely different taste to us.
What about your health? How did that go during the time that you went to Brook?
Well, I've never known anybody want to get back to medical post, doctor, anything like that. You might get if you caught yourself the sand, there's this type of stuff in the sand, if you knock the skin off your hand, it would like fester and things like that, but you've got some type of cream to put on, it would, but you had to avoid it. If you knock the skin off your hand and the sand got in, it would fester. And you all got some type of cream or something what to put on. But as regards the medical, general health of the fellas, no. Didn't worry about the MO, didn't worry about the sky pilot. You know, the fella gave a lecture on the Sunday morning, things like that. You never say nobody. You're there, the only job. No letters, no nothing, no. No cameras, no photographs, no nothing. Rifle, ammunition, and rations, and water.
You weren't getting posted on?
No.
Castles?
Far from it. No, nothing. By heaven, no. No, there was no leak out to nothing. No, you see, if you had plenty of ammunition, your rations or your water, that's all you wanted. You were there for to do a job. But if you got any personal thing, they got to forget it. Forget it entirely.
How did you relieve? It must have been very boring at times. How did you relieve the boredom?
Well, it was, as you say, relieve the boredom. You could rest, or that's it. You like to get something, put the tripwire up, save the tins, put a hole in the tins, around and try and make your place, make your little area better than somebody else's. That there's nobody, you know, and nobody would attack you unexpectedly. There was always little ways you thought out for something to do. Now, as I tell you about this tripwire business, I once sent a fella to the little place away, and there was no tripwire at the time, because this one's so far away, but it was getting dusk. And I was wandering round and round and round all night long, and I was out myself looking for him, and I said, oh, well, he should be back by now. Anyway, we eventually did get back, but I was sitting away, that's as many wires as we can get. Because you can, you know, if you go out on the night time, you think you're going that way, you know, you're going that way, and then you can also go around in saddles.
We're not issued with compasses, or
kind of... No, just a sergeant, other actors with compasses and like that. No. Never in the sergeant might have worn, but other ranks never worn. Any others, there was no need for them to have worn, really, because... If you got captured and things like that, it's more beneficial to them as well. Because mind the army compasses are real good. Oh, yes.
You would obviously be pulled out of the front line from time to time. Where did the perimeter to rest in the effect?
No, in the same position all the time. We got that area, we stopped in that area until we broke out. We wanted moved around. No, I can't be... mind being moved around. No, we got one specified area, somebody else got that, and required by the number one boys. They had it all worked out until we broke out of it. As you say, it would be Orkneck General coming up. And then that come on to the night time being the charge when we're breaking out on it.
Before we get to that, if someone was wounded or injured in the perimeter line, what was the method of getting them back for medical assistance?
Oh, well, there was no hospital. There was a tent, like a medical area tent, but no definite hospitals. There was a lot of probably, which I found out later on, I was in myself later on, just a hospital tent in Tobruk. But that was further back in the town itself, really, not on the outskirts, in the desert area. Now, truthfully, we don't know what the area, we didn't know what the area to Tobruk was, really. I mean, how many miles around that, we all knew we were guarding this little spot. Somebody was guarding that, somebody was guarding that. If we'd only knew the full area and put in the picture, we might be more clear in our objectives.